Well, it is good to see everyone here. We started out thinking we may not even have a quorum, but people began to drift in, which is good. I would rather people drift in than not, so that we have, more people and encourage one another in our fellowship. And things are constantly, I think, looking up for our congregation. We've got some new people coming our way. We've had some new people who have come our way and been here over a year, Mark told me last week. What, in a year? Wow, time just goes by. But we've got some students here, some new people, and God bless you all for coming our way. Hope that we will do everything we can to be what it is that you need also for the Lord. I'm reminded of a story of a teacher that told the students their homework at the end of class. You know how they used to do if you were like me, they wrote on a blackboard with chalk, but they would write then what you need to do at the end or for homework that night. And so the teacher said, I want you to read chapters 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 for homework tonight. And the student raised his hand and he said, is there life after death? And the teacher said, well, yeah, why? He says, well, I may need some extra time to finish all this homework. So, I got some homework for you. Take out your bulletin and notice the yellow page. I want to encourage you to use this as homework. What I did about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years, is I went through the book of Titus, and I just outlined it. Knowing that 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus are primarily written to the local preachers, one of them, of course, named Timothy and the other one named Titus. Timothy was in Ephesus and left there by the Apostle Paul as he traveled through. You remember Timothy, if you read the book of Acts, was traveling along with Paul some of his journeys, and he left him to be the local preacher. Same thing happened to Titus. Titus was left on the Isle of Crete. And his ministry involved more than one church. There were several little pockets of towns around the little island of Crete. And Titus's mission there then, of course, was to, in a sense, be a traveling writing preacher, you know, someone who traveled around the area and preached. And so the Apostle Paul wrote him this little book, only 3 chapters long, and you take a look at that, and your homework would be to, if you would please, go home. And sometime this week, read through the book of Titus and compare notes here, maybe add to it or take away, modify it however you want to. You don't have to turn it in next week because the teacher will be absent, and we will have a teacher that we're importing in, again, at great cost to this congregation from Pflugerville. And he's going to come and he's going to talk to us about, I don't even know the topic, but whatever it's going to be. It's going to be a biblical topic. I've heard him teach and preach before, and he's going to be very biblical. Now, if you want some extra credit, then outline 1 Timothy like this one, looking for what it is that Paul is saying to Timothy about Timothy's mission and his efforts. You may not know, but I think most of you probably do, that those three books are called the pastoral epistles. And they're letters written to the local preachers, and so they predominantly apply to those two men who were inspired in a special way to do what they did, which then doesn't apply to any of our preachers today, because the word itself now is for us, and it's inspired, and we can then use the word. But it's also what sometimes we don't know this, and maybe you do again, that 1st and 2nd Timothy can be used, and Titus can be used by all of us individually. We're teachers as well. Every one of us ought to be teachers. You know, we teach in some way and we share our faith to other people. And you might find in these three books some particular topics, some subjects that you can share to other people. I know I do that sometimes when I get into a preaching slump and preachers get into preaching slump, just like you might say somebody writing a novel. Incidentally, I read recently, this was kind of interesting, somebody said, you know, he imagined how many words that he put together every Sunday, added up how many thousands of words those were, and over a year, And he determined that he writes about what would be amount to about 3 novels a year. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. But you realize every Sunday when it's over, it's over. But every Monday it's like, oh no, what do I say now? You know, and so there's that kind of stuff going on. But it's wonderful to have books like this. And that's one of the reasons why I outlined Titus and put it on that. Again, please go home and do your homework and do some extra credit if you want to. 1st and 2nd Timothy, one of the two or both, just to see, because it's good for all of us to do something like that. Never hurts to read the Bible. Can I get an amen on all that? Yeah, amen. We want to read the Bible all that we can. So that brings me to my disclaimer, and I mentioned it last week. And I don't want you to get home at your dinner table, like I said, and say, therefore, I don't need to study my Bible on my own. We all ought to privately study our Bibles. Can I get an amen on that? Okay, now I caught you. That means you're going to have to go home and start doing that if you're not. You know, surely you are. But God determined that there would also be another avenue for His people to know their Bibles. And that's kind of what we're seeing right now for the worship assembly, to have one component of it, a teaching episode. And so we come sometimes to learn from someone else who has done the time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14, we're in the context of Paul talking about monetary, the church needing to support those who teach and preach. And so this is not my purpose whatsoever, but I want you to see something from it. In verse 14, the scripture says, "The Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel." Now step away from the money part of it and just realize that it evidently, surely, truly, was in God's mind that in local church settings, there will be people like Timothy and like Titus who communicate every Lord's Day in the assembly and preach. The Lord has commanded, of course, that they be compensated so that they might put their full time to it. And that's why it goes back to the disclaimer. Whenever I took a leave from preaching, and I was in Northern California and began to sell, believe it or not, propane and propane accessories, wonderful job up around Downeyville and Truckee, California in the snow. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. I did it for about 3 years, and I determined in that two to three years that I wasn't really very good at managing. You know, my skill is somewhere else, but and I determined that, and I stepped back away from that. But I realized that sometimes you can be so busy with those kinds of things and requirements that are laid on you in daily life, I'm talking about you, that you don't really have the time that you could to put into very in-depth Bible study. And so God determined that it's probably a good idea to have help there at times. And so do your best to study your Bible. It's not being removed from you, that is the responsibility. But realize that also an occasion like this is something God intended, that we can come together and that we can listen to someone. I'm talking about this lesson as I entitled it, the Good Book. You know, the whole series is The Good Book. And this is The Good Book and Preaching. So that's going to be the focus I want to talk about. And the Lord included, again, a weekly assembly where preaching can be found. And so what I want to know, what I want us to look at is from the book. And in this case, 2 Timothy, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I just want to hit a few things. It's 12 minutes after, so give me about another 15 or 20. And we'll cover these things that the Apostle Paul said. I want to say, first of all, that certain men were, and I put quotes on it in my notes, ordained. Some churches ordain in some kind of official way, and if you're not an ordained minister, then, you know, you ain't nothing kind of thing. In our fellowship, we don't do that because we don't really see an organization denomination-wide, if you will, where some group can ordain ministers. You know, we don't see that in the Bible. But we do see a charging of a sense right here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul says, listen to these words, guys, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearance and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the gospel. Preach the word. And we just stop right there for now. That one little spot there. I give you this charge. You know, that happened to me. I was in a school of preaching, and at the end of it, when we were graduating, someone read from that scripture and made that same kind of thing, to give a charge. But what we see here in 2 Timothy is the Apostle Paul now wrote to him in 1 Timothy. He wrote to Timothy. Timothy's problem was timidity. And don't be afraid. Go ahead and speak up wherever you need to. And here he's at the end in 2 Timothy, the second and the last book that he writes to him. And he says down in verse 6, Paul himself, for I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. And then he goes on with, I've fought the good fight, and I've kept the faith, and that sort of thing like that. There's a crown laid up for me, but not just me, everyone else. He's giving this charge because he's about to be gone, and Timothy's going to be left alone. And so he's giving him a charge to go out. But the idea, again, is to preach the word. I ran across this interview process that took place in one church. And here it goes. An older preacher told the story of a young minister interviewing for his first preaching ministry. The pulpit committee had invited him to come over to their church for the interview. And the committee chairman asked, son, do you know what the Bible, or do you know the Bible pretty well? The young man said, yeah, pretty well. The chairman said, well, which part of it do you know the best? The preacher said, I know the New Testament the best. Which part of the New Testament do you know the best? Asked the chairman. The minister said, several parts. The chairman said, well, why don't you tell us the story of the prodigal son? And so the young man said, fine. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus who went down to Jericho by night, and he fell upon stony ground, and the thorns choked him half to death. The next morning, Solomon and his wife Gomorrah came by and carried him down to the ark for Moses to take care of. But as he was going through the eastern gate in the ark, he caught his hair in a limb, and he hung there 40 days and 40 nights, and he afterwards did hunger. And the ravens came and fed him. The next day, the three wise men came and carried him down to the boat dock, and he caught a ship to Nineveh. And when he got there, he found Delilah sitting on the wall, and he said, chunk her down, boys, chunk her down. And they said, how many times shall we chunk her down? Till 7 times 7? Nay, he said, but 70 times 7. And they chunked her down 490 times. And she burst asunder in the midst. And they picked up 12 baskets of the leftovers. And in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? The committee chairman suddenly interrupted the young minister and said to the remaining committee, fellas, I think we ought to ask the church to call him as our minister. He's awfully young, but he sure does know his Bible. Yeah, right. Well, that goes to show sometimes that we need to be able to preach the word, but we need to know the word. And that's why in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we have this particular text that applies again to all of us, but especially to those that are going to make their living out of full-time committing themselves to their local church to bring messages. Verse 15 of chapter 2, you remember it in the old King James, but let's read it in the NIV. But do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. That's a great passage for all of us. I mean, we ought to do our best. Or as the old King James said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, you know, but rightly divides the word of truth. And that's the same, of course, message. It's different English a little bit, but it says the same thing. But again, guys, it's written to Timothy, primarily. You, Timothy, you need to really study your Bible. Now, he only had the Old Testament, which is what we talked about last week in chapter 3. He had some things from a few writings that were becoming the New Testament during his ministry, and even what Paul wrote him became part of the New Testament, which is really interesting. And wonderful to understand, in live time for Timothy, he was receiving the active living word coming to him for the first time. Well, we've got it now. And we've got all the New Testament and so forth. Ministers today, individual people, Bible class teachers, we need to study. We need to know the word if we're going to teach. You know, James chapter 3 and verse 1 talks about, again, the old King James comes to my mind, be not ye many teachers. He says, because there's a greater condemnation. And he's in the chapter that talks about your tongue and how you need to manage your tongue. But he begins the chapter telling people, we ought not have everybody wanting to be teachers because there's a problem with the tongue. And so therefore a teacher might fail in preaching the wrong things, and of course, therefore, be lost or be punished in some way, and that's it will fall into, he said, a greater condemnation. So again, the yellow sheet comes to mind again, the sheet that I gave out to you. We won't look at it anymore because of time frame, but it would be wonderful for you, if nothing else, to go through it. You know, read the book of Titus and go through it. You'll see some things, topics in there, Bible things that need to be understood. First and Second Timothy and Titus, a training manual for all of us, but especially for anyone who may bring messages regularly on a Sunday morning. In this great little preaching book I have, it's just simply called Preach. I have to confess to you, though, after about 30 plus years, almost 40 of preaching, I counted them this week. I have 40 books on preaching. And you're all thinking, well, why haven't they helped? You know? And I don't know what happens occasionally is as a preacher, you get that, writer's cramp, if you will. And you think, and sometimes books help. They kind of spur you and encourage you. So that's why. But this great little book I got called Preach by Deaver and Gilbert has this little quote in it. All Christian preaching derives its authority from being rooted in and tethered tightly to God's Word. Preaching where the main point of the biblical text being considered becomes the main point of the sermon preached. You understand that? You agree with it, don't you? Preaching needs to be founded in, tightly tied to, I like that, tied to tightly the Word of God. It's not just somebody's opinion, but it's what the Bible says. Always study the Bible, teachers, individuals, preachers, always asking, what did God originally mean to those people that originally received this particular letter or message or whatever? But then always add to it, what is God saying now to me? Because there may be some change, some application that's a little different. But as long as you're faithful to it and prayerful about it, you'll come up with some great stuff. And so that's really how the Bible should be handled. Here's the second thing, and that is, Paul tells Timothy you need some preparation. Notice again verse 2, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. I'm not real sure what that means. There are several different views, and I got an idea. I think what it means, one thing I think is, when you want to and you won't, when you don't, maybe that. When people want to hear and when they don't, maybe that's what it means, in season, out of season. Could also be on topics that at the moment aren't necessary, and other times they're going to be, And you're preaching right in the midst of that particular storm that's going on in culture. Sometimes always preach in preparation ahead of time on things, not knowing that something may come up and things may threaten people or be something that we all need to hear. Paul wrote, said to the elders in Acts 20 and verse 27, as he's about to leave, by the way, it was the Ephesus church, interestingly. He says, I have preached to you the whole counsel of God. And so we preachers need to make sure that we cover topics that sometimes people don't really want to hear. And we're in a culture now where folks, wonderful train called the USA is off the tracks in a lot of ways, morally. And what's happening is we have folks, our own people, who are buying into the culture to a great extent, to where the culture gets the preeminence in what they believe versus the Bible. And so to me, in-season, out-of-season includes that too. Sometimes you still need to cover those topics. You know, you still need to talk about, all the issues that might be going on around. I won't bring a lot of that up right now, but you need to be specific about things and teach them. Haddon Robinson said, a mist in the pulpit becomes a fog in the pew. And so we need to know things and say things clearly and emphatically so that we don't go away here with just kind of generalizations and maybe ifs, that we really need to know the Bible, because the Bible speaks in pretty certain terms from the reading I've been doing. It doesn't beat around the bush on issues. And so though you as a teacher and then also in your own personal studies, but preachers, need to, of course, provided in a very tactful way, but sometimes things need to be talked about. And I'm telling you, after again 30 plus something, almost 40 years of preaching, very few people have been critical about that, but some have, who are Christians. And odd that somebody would take issue with, for example, a sermon talking about marriage being only between men and women. There are some who are Christians, this is hard to understand, who are Christians, who take issue with that. They believe that two men can marry and two women can marry, and so therefore they're upset that that was preached about. That's in season, out of season. Sometimes those things need to be talked about. But on the other hand, we as listeners need to realize, and sometimes analyze that, and maybe analyze ourselves, compare ourselves with the Bible. The Bible's the final authority on those kind of objects, those kind of topics. Here's the third thing, and that is that variety is instructed. He said, preach, prepare in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage. That's the variety I'm looking at. Sometimes we need to be corrected, maybe some disbelief problem that we need to change. And I say we as all of us, maybe individual ones as different topics are talked about. We need to be corrected. We need to sometimes even be rebuked, And then finally, number three, encouraged. And so every sermon is not a lot alike. This one here today is to inform and to talk about the Word and how the Word gets to us. It gets to us in private study, but God also intended that it get to us in a public broadcast, a proclamation. Do you know why that is, that it ought to be public, that we all ought to hear it? Puts us all on the same page. We've all heard and studied the same scripture together. It's like Bible class when we have it, which I hope we get to real quick. We're on the same page, and it helps us to feel one in these kinds of things. In the book of Titus and 1st and 2nd Timothy, I looked through and kind of marked it out, and I found 8 or 9, or you might find 10 things where they're told to do different things. The verbs used, one of them is preach. I want you to preach these things, he says. Teach this. I want you to point this out. I want you to command, for example, command the rich not to rely on their richness. I want you to keep reminding them. Another place, I want you to insist on this. And then he says also, I want you to encourage and rebuke. And so that's even just mixed all the way through all three of these books. The communication to the church would be all those different ways. And not all at the same time, of course. And of course, with patience and careful instruction. And finally, because there's got to be preventive maintenance at time, and that's the three verses 3 and 4. The longest piece, by the way. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And so, of course, Timothy's being warned of a reality that takes place even, you know, in our generation, in every generation, that there's always outside forces that are attempting to lure people away from God's truth. And so, Timothy, you need to be aware of the reason why you need to preach the Bible, the Word, and you need to preach it no matter what, in season and out of season, and you need to apply it in different kinds of ways and varieties by correcting at times and rebuking at times and encouraging at times, by just simply pointing something out, by reminding people of certain things, and on, because this can happen. And sometimes in your own flock, you know, the one that you serve. And a great passage that you need to see, and you don't have to look it up, but you might want to write it down. You've heard it before, Colossians 3:8, where Paul's writing to the church, and he says to them, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ." And so individually we're responsible for that, but Timothy's being told here, part of your job is the fact that this is going to happen to some of your people. And so maybe you need to do some preventive maintenance. That's the point if you're writing down points. There's got to be some preventive maintenance in all preaching. That's why we preach the whole counsel in all of these things. So he finally closes in verse 5, "But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." And so just a kind of quick little thing there, he's saying don't give up. I'm about to be, Paul himself is saying, poured out like a drink offering, and I'm about to leave this earth. And Timothy, use me as an example and realize just keep on keeping on, because there's a need for what you do. Preachers have a place in the Lord's church. We've been talking about the good book and preachers. But just understand, as Paul says about himself in 2 Corinthians 4, and this is the last little thought. Again, about himself, he says, and others like him, he says, we're jars of clay. And so are our teachers and preachers. So are all of us. And when we share the gospel, he says, the reason, though, that that's good, that we're jars of clay, imperfect, cracked sometimes, and leaking a little bit, is it brings to mind that the all-surpassing power that comes from the Word is from God. So whether your local preachers are those that everybody knows is just this wonderful, like Charles Spurgeon was in the 1800s, or he's just some little pipsqueak guy like me, as long as the Word's being spoken of, that's the focus. And sometimes being a pipsqueak preacher helps to make the Word look better, because we realize suddenly the real authority and the real power is in the Word. It's not in the person. It's in the Word. And so there we are. We're finished. We'll talk about the good book in a couple of weeks after our mystery preacher comes in next week. as we again fly him in at great expense to this church. So we want to invite you back next week. But thank you for listening, and I hope that you'll take some of this stuff in and go home and do your homework. And you don't have to worry about waiting and doing it all in heaven, because to read 1 and 2 Timothy and to outline it briefly is not going to be a big problem for you. So.